Off the ball. Rugby.
There definitely seemed to be a bit of doom and gloom. You know, with all the stuff around the thing, it's like, well, Sexton's not making the next World Cup, so now we need to start planning without him. So the mind frames and stuff, I don't think it's completely unique the moment we're in. I just think we've a good way of forgetting.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Outside the Box here on Off the Ball, your podcast for all things Irish football. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by our two regular, I was going to call you co-hosts. Is it suitable to call three people co-hosts?
Three co-hosts, we're all equal.
Yeah, I don't know.
Matthew Brennan is on my right, David Wilson is on my left. Lads, how are you getting on?
All good.
All right.
I should preface this podcast very quickly, as you've probably looked at the title, by saying if you're looking for your usual fix of how Irish players are getting on over in the UK and further afield. We'll be back next week with our kind of regular schedule of podcasts. But I'm sure, as you've seen by the title, there was something that we thought was a bit too important not to discuss. So last week, what was looking like a fairly routine Nations League draw in Brussels on Thursday was instead turned into a major talking point, not just Irish life, not just Irish sport, but in Irish life kind of in general. As you may know by now, Ireland were drawn into League B Group 3 alongside Austria, Kosovo and Israel. So in this episode, we'll be developing into one of the divisive fixtures in that group, which is Ireland versus Israel. Will it go ahead? Should it be boycotted? Should Israel be allowed to compete at all? What are the stipulations behind this game going ahead? We'll get into all the potential outcomes throughout the course of this episode. So this is, of course, the Nations League campaign, which will decide the playoff places for Euro 2028. So as you may know, Euro 2028 is going to be co-hosted by Ireland alongside Scotland, England and Wales. So Hamer Hargreaves' team will begin their group campaign away to Kosovo on Thursday the 24th of September before travelling to face Israel 3 days later. So the venue for this game is yet to be finalised. Israel have played the majority of their home games over the last 2 years in Hungary. Their most recent home game against Moldova actually took place in Chisinau in Moldova, despite them being the home team. Then a few days after that, Ireland will play Austria at home on the 1st of October, followed by a home game against Israel on the 4th of October. And then they conclude the campaign with two fixtures in November, travelling to face Austria on the 14th before Kosovo on the 17th. So it's very important to stress that the venues for these games are not finalised yet. They don't actually have to be finalised by the FAs until 120 days before the first game, which is around the 30th of May. So the draw was last Thursday in Brussels, which gave us all the huge talking point that Ireland have been drawn alongside Israel. There was a couple of Irish media pack at the event. They spoke to Hamer Hargreaves after the game, but Hamer Hargreaves wasn't the only representative from the FAI there. FAI President Paul Cook was there. CEO David Crail were at the draw. They didn't speak to the media after the game. Hamer Hargreaves spoke to the media. He said that he hopes Ireland fans, no matter what happens with the game, get behind the team when they could potentially play the opponent of Israel. He didn't make any solid statements on what he thinks should happen with the game. However, he did say on record at the end of last year that he doesn't understand why Russia have been banned from the competition and Israel are still allowed to compete. Lads, you've obviously seen all of the reaction over the last week towards, this draw being made. Firstly, just on kind of what happened on Thursday and after the event on Thursday, Paul Cook and David Crail left the event without speaking to the media. At the last Nations League draw, who then was, their predecessor in his role was Jonathan Hill. Yeah. He did speak to the media after the last Nations League draw. Did you have any kind of big thoughts on this? The lads not speaking to the media and Hamer being left out to speak to them?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not surprised with the way in which Hamer addressed the topic, you know, because he's kind of spoken about it in the past. And I think in terms of the way that we're not hoping, but expecting the FAI to kind of deal with this situation going forward, to have this as your first kind of talking point from it, that we had people there in positions of power in the FAI and they didn't address it head on, is not a great look. I'd be fairly disappointed in that myself. Not to start a pile on or anything like that. Like, I think it's a nuanced enough kind of topic, especially on their behalf. But the fact that there was other equivalent delegations from other countries who did speak to the media, and the fact as well that they had already kind of got a pre-prepared statement to put out there after the draw was made, the fact that they didn't prepare themselves for, unless this was actually an active preparation choice to just let Hamer take the brunt of it, which I think was an unusual thing to do if that was the case, but to not address it head on, I was fairly disappointed by. And I would kind of hope that it's not a sign of things to come in not addressing it head on. And I know we've heard that they're going to speak to the media at some point over the next couple of days, but yeah. I think that even at this stage, it's probably gone on a couple of days too long.
David, yeah. Before I ask you very quickly, I should just read out that statement yeah. for people who've listened yeah, to Matthew referenced there. So this was issued a matter of minutes kind of after the draw was made from the FAI. It was a press release and says, the Football Association of Ireland confirms that the Ireland men's national team will fulfil their 2026 UEFA Nations League fixtures against Israel after being drawn together in Group B3. In 2025, a motion was proposed by members of the FAI General Assembly to vote on issuing a formal request to the UEFA Executive Committee for immediate suspension of the Israel Football Association from UEFA competitions for breach of UEFA statutes. Members then voted in favour to submit the motion to UEFA, which the association did in November 2025. While the consultation has taken place with UEFA officials, the association does recognise that UEFA regulations outline that if an association refuses to play a match, then that fixture will be forfeited and further disciplinary measures may follow, including potential disqualification from the competition. So that's the FAI statement in full. President Paul Cook, who didn't speak to the media after the event on Thursday, had said before Thursday that if Ireland were drawn with Israel, that Ireland would fulfil the fixture.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there was initial inquiries made to the FAI. I think on the Monday and the Sunday and the Monday of last week about what would be the stance and whether if Ireland were drawn. Obviously, there's a 25% chance that Ireland were drawn with Israel, and that did so happen. Before we get into the Israeli question, I guess it just is really bad luck, I thought, for Hamer Hallegrimsson to be out there on his own. Speaking to what happened to be the world's media,
yeah.
because you had AP and BBC and Sky and everyone
naturally,
was there.
Yeah.
And you had two people who have been employed as, you know, kind of, I guess, the highest positions of power in the FAI, and they kind of scurried off into the background. It's a really bad look for them. If you're in that position, you have to come out and be a leader and own it and speak to the media, and don't leave your head coach, who, look, we'll get into debate whether football and politics and whatever does that mix, but you had your head coach of your football team, your national football team, out answering questions on his own.
Regardless of whether he should be the one to do that or not, you can hold that view, but he shouldn't be the only one to have
exactly.
to do it. And if you're going to go to the trouble of you know, responding in prior to what your stance would be if we did make this draw happen, to then actually have it happen and not be there ready to front it is the aesthetics of it aren't pretty.
No. And there's been a lack of leadership from the FAI and a number of different things over the years that is it's just nearly to come kind of expected at this point. Now, David Carell and Paul Cook will definitely come out in the next couple of days and speak to media then, and they'll obviously be briefed more on the situation, and they'll be briefed by the government and the people who run, you know, kind of the sports department as well, the government. So I guess that was their reasoning for it, but it was just a really bad look, because you have, you're the manager of your international football team out there on his own. And would they have done the same if it was Carla Ward? Would they have done the same if it was Jim Crawford? Would they have done the same if it was Conor O'Brien or whoever else who's involved with international teams, underage teams throughout the years? I don't know. Like, it's just, it kind of left a bit of a sour taste in my mouth, because you're employed there to be a leader of this organisation, and what you didn't do was lead and lead from the front. You left that to your head coach.
So this game, which I suppose there's two games. There'd be an away game, which the Israeli FA have said that they hope takes place in Tel Aviv. Israel obviously haven't played in Tel Aviv since before 2023. We have seen a return to sport to Israel over the last couple of number of weeks and months. The Eurobasket, namely, being kind of the biggest sport in basketball that have returned to their shores. Then you have the home game, which is scheduled to take place in Dublin on the 4th of October, which is obviously quite close to a significant date in this kind of Israeli-Palestinian conflict, obviously with the 7th of October 2023 being when Hamas militants killed more than 1,200 Israelis. There has been a lot of talk whether this game might be moved outside of Dublin Belgium moved a game in 2024 to Debrecen and Hungary outside of Belgium. They're the only team that have moved a home game against Israel outside of their nation. Now, there has been talks reportedly between the Gardaí and the FAI. A number of situations are being looked at, including moving the game to early that afternoon, like at noon or 1 o'clock kickoff. There's also a capacity issue which has to be addressed. When Norway played Israel at home, they reduced their capacity and in turn gave the profits away to...
Medicine Sans Frontier.
Yeah, Medicine Sans Frontier, Doctors Without Borders in French. Very good. Very well done, David. First and the away game. Is there any sort of argument to play this game outside of where the games have been held recently, which is in Hungary?
I suppose just on this morning, as kind of we kind of were recording now, but this is a kind of an ever fluctuating, changing situation. Yeah. David Snead reporting the 42 just this morning that UEFA confirmed that their decision to not allow any matches to take place in Israel still stands. So,
and I think that's where the 130 days things comes in as well. And that if they were to change that stance before the end of May, then that opens up another kind of worms as whether a game could actually be played in Israel.
Yeah.
Because obviously they did tweet out after the draw that they would be welcoming us Ireland in front of a blue and white crowd.
I suppose the first thing we should probably focus on is probably the whether the game happens in Dublin. And we've had Micheál Martin and Simon Harris coming out in the last couple of days about, football and politics don't mix, but football and politics doesn't mix when they don't want it to mix. Sport and politics is intrinsically mixed. You know, it's an international football team competing against another international football team to qualify for an international football tournament. Okay, so sport brings people together when the politics and the politicians who want it to, you know, they bring it together. Because, whether this game happens in Dublin, I don't think... Firstly, from the Irish point of view, I don't think Ireland should be punished to have a game moved outside of their kind of their territory, I guess.
Or whatever,
what happens to the season ticket holders? What happens to what happens to, I guess, your home advantage? Like, does it be played behind closed doors? What happens if the game doesn't get played? I think it would look really, really bad on Ireland and for the people who speak kind of ill of Ireland internationally, like the American right, people in Europe, that if Ireland can't host the game against Israel in Dublin, then the entire nation of Ireland is anti-Semitic, which is, we know, is not true. So
there's a dual-edged sword to this as well, where outside of the kind of political spectrum, the FAI will also really be keen, as well as the Irish governments, for this game to take place in Dublin, where the FAI, as we know, are an organisation that relies on money coming in the door, and they've sold season tickets for this game to go ahead.
Yeah.
So both the Irish government, as you said, and will want this game to go ahead, the FAI will want this game to go ahead.
But James Lawless, minister for about 10 different things, was speaking in the Dáil this morning, or speaking outside of the Dáil this morning, and he was asked, you know, what should happen to this game? He's like, oh, maybe, you know, we're looking at moving the game outside the borders of Ireland to have this game take place. And then he said, like, football and politics don't mix. This is just a really crap situation for football and sport in the country, because you're going to have a lot of politicians, a lot of political parties, but really don't really care about football.
Yeah, this is the point I was going to make, and it's not directed at James Lawless, as you mentioned, but there's going to be politicians who are going to see this as well as an opportunity.
A vehicle for them.
Yeah, for them. And we have to be careful that everyone has to, I think, be aware of that fact, and there's no finger-pointing going on, but that's just naturally the way that these things work. And I think the government side of things, we just need to be careful of. And it's an interesting thing that, as you say, that they kind of decide when it suits them that they're going to use sport for their own kind of gain, you like. Barry Murphy was on this morning. This might seem a little bit out of kilter, but when Ireland kind of decided that they weren't going to take part in the Eurovision, which is obviously not a sporting thing and it's not as big, but to certain portions of the country, maybe even historically, it's quite a significant thing, quite an important thing to certain people in Ireland. And when Ireland decided to withdraw from that, they had essentially the full backing of everyone in the government, and the basic reason for them withdrawing from the Eurovision was due to the fact that Israel were going to be taking part in it.
Yeah.
And there was no kind of issue there. So this is obviously on a larger scale with more world global eyes on it. But the point still stands in that it suited them then, it doesn't suit them now. Yeah. Not to say that, you know, we should be going entirely one way and entirely another way. It's just, yeah, I think there's a lot of nuance to it. And there's just a lot of different things to be aware of and different reasons for certain actions and words and choices being made, you know.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin said the other day that he believes this game should go ahead and he thinks the FAI have taken the correct decision to fulfil the fixture, and he hopes the fixture takes place in a secure environment. Is that Dublin?
It's hard to answer that question. Is that Dublin? Is a secure environment? I think the biggest question is like whether Ireland should be part of this. Should they take part in this game at all? Are you legitimising an Israeli war machine by playing this game? Unfortunately, the Israeli football team and the Israeli government, like, you can't really separate it, like, you know? You can't. They're intrinsically linked. They're the representative of the Israeli nation on the football sense. They haven't been banned from UEFA or FIFA. There was talks of that in...
Yeah, and those talks had ramped up.
September, October time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, whether this game happens in Dublin or not, I think it's really hard for us to speculate on that, and it's really hard for us to answer that, but... What we maybe should go back to is what the members thought here in Ireland of, you know, the actual grassroots here of football in Ireland.
So what David was talking about is last November, the FAI submitted a motion to UEFA to ban Israel from its European club and international competition. So this vote was proposed by League of Ireland club Bohemians. This was put to the FAI's General Assembly at an EGM, which is held directly for the AGM. So it's like... basically an extraordinary meeting, like something that needs to happen imminently. And the proposal for the vote cited two alleged violations of UEFA statutes by the Israeli Football Association, the IFA. So one of these was that the organising clubs in occupied Palestine territories without consent of the Palestinian FA. And the second was the alleged failure of the IFA to enforce an effective anti-racism policy. Submission required more than 50% of FAI delegates to pass, and passed by a majority with 74 votes in favour, 7 against, and 2 abstentions. The two statutes that the FAI are alleging the IFA of breaking, number one being the organising of clubs in the occupied Palestinian territories without consent of the Palestinian FA. It is believed to be known that there's about 6 to 8 clubs, Israeli member clubs, IFA member clubs, within the Palestine occupied territories. And there's reports going back since 2016 of these clubs being in the occupied territories, the other being the alleged failure of the IFA to enforce and affect the anti-racism policy. So this was put forward in November. And as we can see by the FAI statement that we read out earlier, UEFA haven't dealt back with the FAI directly on this since. Just on that vote kind of going ahead in November...
Or September.
But the FAI, the AGM was in November.
Oh, yeah.
It passed by a huge majority.
Landslide.
74-7. Like, this isn't even close. There's reports of another EGM around this game taking place again. It's quite clear that there is support from members within the FAI to not play this game and for Israel to be banned from the competition.
Yeah, because basically, as Daniel Lambert kind of explained last week on Thursday night's football show, Israel are kind of contravening the UEFA statutes and basically UEFA's own rules. And they have been doing so for...
A long time,
well before October 7th, 2023. And Ireland brought this motion forward that was brought forward by their members, and they had to kick it to UEFA. UEFA then kicked it then to their executive committee and said, oh, look, we have maybe this peace deal is kind of coming down the road, you know, this so-called ceasefire is coming down the road. Like, let's see what happens there. So obviously pressure came from outside UEFA. We can imagine who that pressure, where that came from. And there was no vote held on whether Israeli participation should happen in UEFA competitions. Now, this also comes from, like, the Palestinian FA done this in 2024. They also did it. They also brought it forward in 2015 as well, I think. And about a week later, the top brass of FIFA were all arrested in the scandal that ultimately took down Sepp Blatter and Chuck Blazer and whoever else. So basically, this isn't, you know, this isn't something that's just been kind of thought up of out of the blue. This isn't something that Ireland have or the FAI have kind of, yeah, like let's get Israel kicked out of UEFA. It's actually to get UEFA to follow their own rules. And that kind of leads us kind of interestingly to where, like, this is there's kind of two separate things. There's the moral thing of like Israel playing in football and UEFA competition. There's also like the kind of the legal thing that UEFA basically aren't following their own rules.
That opens up a whole other can of worms. Like,
it does.
Where does that stop?
So, you know, like, why is there one rule for Russia and a different rule for Israel?
Yeah.
Well, it's because Russia were going to play in 2022 after the full-scale invasion. Let's remind ourselves of that, because they also
hadn't been happening. Yeah,
had been going on since 2014 in Ukraine, which went and they hosted the 2018 World Cup. But they were due to play Poland in the qualifier for the 2022 World Cup, and the winners of that would have played Sweden or Czech Republic. So Poland said, "We're not playing against Russia." And then the Swedes came out and said, "Look, if Russia get through, we won't play them either." And then the Czechs came out a couple of days later and said, "Look, we won't play either."
So there was no option there really, in that if UEFA decided that we're going to let this go anyway, what would have happened there is that the three teams who've decided not to play would have been left to go, and Russia would have walked their way through, which would have been a god awful look for UEFA more than anything else,
and FIFA.
So
we're kind of in that position now, and I think that brings us to the B word, like the boycott. Does it happen? Does it get us anywhere? And what we've kind of spoken in like our pre-show meeting and spoken on shows and read columns and different things, like, what do we think? Like, is this
the repercussions?
So what you're speaking of there, the Russia-Ukrainian war began in 2014, and obviously these fixtures were scheduled to take place before the World Cup of 2022. In the meantime, Russia held the World Cup.
Yeah.
There was Champions League finals in Russia. A lot of UEFA footballing competitions were going on in Russia in the meantime.
They'd organised the Champions League finals for St. Petersburg in
22.
So former FAI CEO today, Bernard O'Byrne, said he sees no merit in Ireland refusing to play Israel. He says, "I think it would be an empty gesture. What would it achieve? You won't hurt Israel. You won't really boost the Palestinian issue. But if you play and make a visible protest at the game, that is standing up." You spoke there about a boycott. Do you believe a boycott is more of an effective stance than what Bernard O'Byrne, the former FAI CEO there, is saying?
I just kind of go back to, I've thought about this literally since we were in here in the office watching the draw being made. Yeah. I literally haven't really thought about much else other than this draw and this game. And Owen Doyle was on the news around that night, and he said, "Look, unfortunately, we just have to maybe feel the pain and kind of take the repercussions and boycott, because, you know, like, nothing comes easy. Boycott is meant to be hard. You know, if you're doing it for something you believe in, it doesn't come easy." I understand we'll have the Euros games, and like Gab Cooney obviously came on that evening as well and said, "Look, UEFA ultimately pay the bills."
Mm.
I think this is more than about paying bills, and unfortunately more than just the financial aspect of it. Like, over 75,000 people have been killed in Palestine. There's over 600 people have been killed since the so-called ceasefire has been announced. I think there's no other question really than that you have to boycott it. Now, what is really hard is for it leaves the players, the coach, coaching staff. I don't really care about the FAI, but the coaching staff, the players and the fans in a real difficult position.
Yeah, a rock and a hard place.
So the Palestinian Health Ministry reported in November 2025 that over 70,000 people had been killed in Palestine since 2023. Is there a case where if Ireland do boycott this game, that you will have other UEFA nations who will kind of roll in behind Ireland the way countries rolled in behind Poland against Russia in 2022? And is it a case of if Ireland take the lead and kind of be the main focal point against Israeli teams playing in UEFA competitions, that it is a case of other countries will roll in behind that?
Yeah,
or do you think that there is a chance where, like the FAI have been told, where if they don't play these games, they could face expulsion from the competition?
Yeah,
is there going to be a serious crackdown on this?
See, that's the sticking point, really. And it's why, and not that it makes it difficult, it's obviously difficult to talk about in any circumstance. But I think in terms of other countries rolling in behind us, or, you know, other institutions rolling in behind us, I think that genuinely does really depend on how they deal with Ireland, if Ireland do boycott it, in that there may be such a feeling in the football community of Ireland that a boycott is worth doing, but that might not necessarily translate in the same sort of degree to a different FA, for example, over somewhere else. And that's not nice to hear, really, like, in the sense that you'd like to think that if we feel this way, and hopefully someone else feels this way, and they go and do it, if we do boycott it, I do think it depends on what they do with us. And there is a world where I can't see this happening, but if there probably is a world where they decide and go, right, okay, well, we don't want to set a precedent here in teams boycotting, so we're going to crack down on you as hard as we can to put off other nations doing that. And if they don't have the same sort of drive to forget about the consequences that might be evident here, then I can't imagine there would be too many driving in behind us. But again, as I say, it depends. It obviously depends on whether we do boycott or not, and it also depends on specifically for this case, it depends on what the circumstances are. Like, you know, it depends on what the punishment is.
We spoke to a lot about people who are kind of behind the scenes, and presidents and CEOs and kind of members of the FAI. There's, I suppose, the most key people who are going to be involved in these two games are the players.
Yeah.
I when it comes to this kind of conversation, I'm stuck between, you know, there's a part of me that goes, should a player put their head above the parapet and really put their foot down and say, I don't want to play this game? Or is it a case where a player shouldn't have to take that responsibility, and that responsibility should be taken out of their hands?
Yeah, it's really hard. Like, Carla Ward was talking this morning in her press conference about, like, what she would do if her players were in this situation. She said she'd back the players. I think this is a really hard situation. There's a really hard situation for the players, because, like, as Kevin Kilbane was on the show last night, and he spoke about how his political kind of outlook has changed from when he was a player playing against Israel back in 2005. I think it's just so hard. Keith Tracy made a point as well. It's so hard to put this pressure on players who sometimes they don't really.
Yeah, and like, think to say things, like, a player is living in, they don't live in the real world or whatever, like, is a kind of a throwaway term. But in a circumstance like this, you can understand how a person whose whole life growing up maybe hasn't finished out school, further education, whatever way you want to portray it. Like, there is a world where they are just that. This is their life, and they're not totally in tune with what's going on, and that's okay, that's fine. But I think the main thing is if the players decide to do something, which I can't imagine they will, I think it will be a case of they'll not do what they're told, but for want of a better term, they'll do what they're told. But if there is a case where X amount of players decide they want to do something, I think it just is very important that they're backed by the FAI in particular, more than anything else.
This is obviously going to be a very intense topic, and it's a very divisive topic. It's going to cause a lot of debate between not just now and when the games take place in September and October, but between now and that deadline in May when it takes place, is something that we will be revisiting a lot, I suppose, over the course of the next couple of months. And if we've got a playoff to kind of be thrown in the meantime as well.
Yeah, which is very unfortunate, isn't it?
Which is kind of begs another question, which we will delve into in the future, over if this was the playoff, would there be talk of a boycott?
Yeah.
But for now, we're going to leave this conversation where it is. We'll be back next week with your more regular fix of how Irish players are getting on across Europe and beyond. Thanks for listening.
Disparo, pegó en la mano del hombre argentino, se está habilitado el hombre italiano que ingresa, el del arquero, viene el empate, gol.
This week on Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors, how a Danish wonder kid nearly ended up at Liverpool, and how the team of the 80s could have won even more. Michael Ledger's proposed move to Merseyside could have altered the European football landscape. But why did the deal ultimately collapse? Find out on this week's Sliding Doors. Subscribe now in your OTB football podcast to not miss an episode. Coming to you for free each and every Monday.